welcome to this week's Expert HR podcast with me, Ellie Gelder. Now, managing sickness absence effectively should be a key priority for line managers. But how are line managers being trained in how to navigate the various pitfalls of managing staff absence? With me today to discuss the results of Expert HR's latest survey on training line managers in managing absence is Senior HR Practice Editor Noelle Murphy. So first off, Noelle, can you just give us an overview of the findings?
Well, I suppose the first thing is that this is a survey that we conduct regularly on Expert HR. And this year we spoke to more than 330 HR practitioners. For me, the finding that stands out is that despite us knowing and it being shown that training line managers in managing absence shows itself to be the most effective way to secure engagement and understanding and as such reducing sickness absence, as many as 4 in 10 HR practitioners are not in a position to offer any training in this area.
Just quite a large proportion that can't. So what's the reason for that you found?
One of the recurring themes we hear from our HR community when we speak to them about this is the issue they have securing resources and commitment from both senior and line managers. It's a problem to get line managers to make time to attend the training. So they have difficulties when they set up training if it's not mandatory to ensure that line managers will attend. But also there's this ongoing tension around whose job it is to manage absence. HR believe it is the role of line managers, whereas line managers are happy to hand it over wherever possible back to HR. Even where there is no formal training in place, though, HR has to be sure that where absence management is the responsibility of line managers, they have to have the necessary skills to do it correctly and compliantly. I suppose we would see absence management training for line managers to be a bit like first aid training. Even though it's not something they do every day, they do need to keep their skills and knowledge up to date so that when something does happen, they're in a position to be able to manage it effectively. The other thing that we found that many of our respondents who aren't offering training do plan to do so within the next 12 months.
Right.
But this tends to be something that we find every time we do this survey. So where they can't at the moment offer the training, they say it's certainly on the agenda to do so within the next 12 months.
But presumably they're still trying to get buy-in from higher up in the organisation to justify the costs of that training being mandatory.
That's right. So there's the costs of the training, but also there's taking the line managers away from
the day job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So where training is offered, what does it tend to usually cover?
Without any shadow of a doubt, the thing that is generally across the board is building line manager confidence in dealing with sickness absence. So that's building their confidence and having difficult conversations during return to work interviews, but also the competence in identifying when intervention from third parties are required. We found that there's different approaches taken to training line managers in dealing with short-term sickness absence and long-term sickness absence. So the basic is, you know, getting to grips with return to work interviews and covering what needs to be covered in a return to work interview. Now that in its own right can be a complicated affair, but then you move on for long-term sickness absence. It's as much about case management, how you deal with that, what you do about a phased return to work, and more importantly, when somebody has a condition that potentially might be covered by the Equality Act, what kind of approach is a line manager supposed to take? There's a huge amount there to be covered, really. So you can understand in some ways why HR have a bit of an issue in kind of encouraging line managers to engage with the breadth of kind of that kind of training.
Not bury their heads in the sand when it's something complicated like long-term sickness.
Well, yes, and it might be a condition that they are very unfamiliar with. They may have no knowledge of, and
I guess that springs to mind, mental health springs to mind, doesn't it, where someone, a line manager, might not feel comfortable with dealing with that, asking how someone is, how someone's coping.
Well, yes, I mean the whole thing can be very complicated because it's, you know, something like mental ill health can present so differently depending on somebody's personality or characteristics, etc. So, you know, that's difficult enough, but if somebody has been signed off on long-term sickness absence with mental ill health, then it can be, you know, very difficult for a line manager to engage comfortably with the employee and encourage a phased return to work. And that can be very much kind of a, you know, a hands-off approach due to lack of understanding and not being comfortable in dealing with the situation. And it's not something that's easy from either side, really. It's not like HR have all the answers. But one of the respondents we heard from told us they had started to do work with Mind, the mental health charity. So they had started to work with them to kind of raise awareness within the organisation amongst all employees, but also working with line managers to look at early warning signs and give them the skills to know when the signs are such that you should try and speak to the employee directly about what's going on.
So that's interesting, they're getting an external party to help them with that. Yeah. Like you say, HR doesn't always have the answers. Yeah. So do we think we'll see more of that?
Well, I don't know. It's interesting, isn't it? I think we would say that the political picture this year has raised awareness around mental health, etc. And particularly mental health in the workplace. We know stress is a big cause of sickness absence, and as such will have a significant cost to employers. So we kind of get the impression that this is something that HR really want to engage with so that they can hand it over to line managers and be confident that line managers can perform their role effectively. But it seems like every year something more pressing comes along that has to be dealt with, and training line managers and managing absence kind of gets put on the long finger again.
What have our HR community told us actually works in terms of creating a culture that supports training line managers in this area?
Well, they're very clear that there needs to be commitment from the top. It needs to be a top-down process that everyone buys into and is committed to. And that's very easy to say. Every initiative, pretty much, that you introduce needs to, you know, have support from the top and needs top-down process.
And how are they doing that? How are they getting buy-in from the top?
Well, I suppose one of the biggest things that they can do is demonstrate to senior management how much absence is costing them on a day-to-day basis.
And we know that's costing...
So our own survey would put that cost on an average of £648 per employee per year.
Adds up.
It adds up, and there's a business case right there for getting the investment.
Yeah, not to mention the other.
That's right. Well, that's just the cost on a day-to-day basis. That's not measuring the impact it has on those who remain, and looking at engagement levels or morale amongst employees. But I suppose it's not a very exciting initiative. Effective absence management needs to be supported by a culture of encouraging employee well-being.
And creating consistency as well, which must be a challenge.
Well, yes.
You've got different personalities, different line managers.
Yep. What can be as damaging to effective absence management is the overzealous line manager, as much as the line manager who kind of hasn't got a real interest or desire to engage with the process. And I suppose the difficult thing is that HR have been trying to offload this, so it's kind of where the policing aspect of it, now I don't like to use that word when it comes to HR at all, but you know, kind of just overseeing it so that we know that things are done consistently, because you have to be absolutely sure that every employee pretty much has the same experience in how their sickness absence is managed. Otherwise you could be letting yourself open to some issues there, if particularly if somebody has a condition or something that's covered under the Equality Act.
And then, so we've talked about buy-in from the top. So the other things that work in creating that supportive culture are...
So it's that thing we were talking about there is, you know, while HR are keen to offload, they still need to be proactively involved to ensure things like the consistency, to ensure that standards don't drop, to ensure that everybody is doing the same thing, and that everybody who has had sickness absence has as much as possible the same kind of experience.
And so presumably line managers need to be trained in when they need to get HR's input before things escalate.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's difficult to capture in a policy, because a certain amount of it has to be down to the line manager and how well they know the employee, etc., and how much they can identify is, you know, deviation from the norm within this employee's personality. And then, so say for example they're off on sickness absence for 4 weeks, but it's a pre-planned, you know, surgery and recovery, then you wouldn't necessarily need to involve HR, although there would have to be a kind of return to work plan or a phased return to work plan put in place. You know, that's a thing that's difficult to capture in a policy, but we know from speaking to the HR community, they find that role-playing these things in small groups with line managers is something that works effectively. successfully. So presenting them with scenarios and giving them the time and the space to kind of learn from each other and explore how they would deal with them particular situations. But it's down to the culture again, really, I think, in that effective absence management doesn't need to be a punitive thing. It can be something that supports and encourages employees to be open about why they need absence.
So communication is key.
I mean, it really is. It's communication between the line manager and the employee, but also communication when it's relevant between the line manager and HR or any other third party. Mm-hmm. I suppose one of the messages that was very clear to us as well from the HR community is that managing sickness absence is one thing, but also managing absence for reasons other than sickness and not annual leave. So for example, if somebody has a domestic emergency at home or a child who is off sick, then they should be able to contact their line manager rather than just ring in sick themselves and say that, you know, outline the situation and tell them that, or, you know, and have the opportunity potentially to work from home or take leave at very short notice without feeling like they're letting anybody down.
The culture of trust. Well,
yes, and that doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, again, I suppose that's where we were looking at creating a culture of employee well-being. So, you know, that's about supporting employees, helping them to look after themselves, but also being realistic. And this is very much the message from HR, you know, supporting them. One of them described as supporting employees in their chaotic home life and trying to balance that with work as well. So, you know, HR are very aware of the realities that people face and welcome policies that allow them the flexibility to support employees during that time.
So we talked about making trading mandatory is quite hard because other priorities creep in. But do you think in time when HR gets buy-in from the top that we could see training becoming mandatory?
I suppose in all the time we've been doing this, the one thing that has changed for sure is the emphasis on employee well-being. And that is very much a priority. And it's certainly something that is talked about a lot, not only within the HR community, but wider afield. But I would have to balance that with the fact that every year we ask our respondents if they would like to see the training as mandatory. And every year, you know, it's over 70% tell us that they would like to, but it's such a small proportion that actually are in a position that it is mandatory that, you know, there's a bit of a disconnect there.
So watch this space. You would normally repeat the survey?
Well, we try and do it every couple of years. It's not necessarily that things change, but we want to keep checking the mood and kind of where, because we know sickness absence is a real priority for HR. It's not one of the exciting things, but it is one of the things that costs money every year. So we want to keep checking the mood.
Absolutely. It is going to continue to be an issue for HR, isn't it? It's just how they can get line managers to own it more effectively.
Yes. Either that or, you know, sometimes these things go in cycles and it'll just go right back to HR. But it's hard to see that happening now because, you know, organisations have so many more clearly defined policies in place, etc. But it's certainly a perennial issue, no shadow of a doubt.
Thanks very much for that, Noelle. And you can read the full findings of the survey by going to our survey analysis tool. And do look out for our upcoming survey on sickness absence rates for 2017, which will be up on the site shortly. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Expert HR podcast. Thanks for listening. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.